want to introduce you to our preacher today. The man, the myth, the legend. His name is not Peter, but Jesus. But this man has greatly encouraged me over the years. He's a man of faith, a good teacher of the word, and I'm always blessed to sit in his presence. So guys, let's give a big hand of applause for Pierre Smith.
Sometimes you feel like a guest in your own house. I feel like a guest preacher after that. Thank you, Mario. Appreciate that. And I'm glad that you said it's Jesus, not me. This morning when we prayed John 1, which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He came and He dwelled upon us. Now, prayer was, as we go through the Word this morning, that you encounter Jesus. Not my sermon, not our songs, but you and Jesus. And I'm so grateful that in our worship already, the team has led us to Him. Because that's what we are as a church all about. We follow Jesus together. And this morning, we're going to continue to do so through the preaching of His Word. Before we do, friends, we are in a season here in the middle of the year where we're going to be praying. We'll be talking about prayer. Next week, we have Pastor Linda Mdolomba joining us from Every Nation Zola. He will be preaching and encouraging us in this topic of prayer. But this week, we've got prayer meetings coming up. We believe in not only being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And this week, for the next 5 days, we're giving you opportunity to practice that which we are growing in. So on Monday and Friday, starting tomorrow from 5 to 6 a.m. on those two mornings, we will have an online prayer meeting on Zoom. We don't want to chase you out of bed and out of the house every day. So we decided, you know, Zoom is great. It's early morning. You can keep your cameras off. In fact, please do. There's some of you that I'm not intrigued to see you at 5 a.m. in the morning. And believe you don't want to see me either. So cameras off 5 to 6. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's going to be worth it. You join us on Zoom. And then on Friday morning again, we will send out those Zoom links via WhatsApp. So here's a WhatsApp advertisement. If you're not on our WhatsApp line, today is the day. You can come and speak to anyone on the team who will help you with that. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have in-person gatherings, 6 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday and Thursday evening at the Bizweni Church in Bizweni Road, the Bizweni campus, from 6 to 7, won't be longer, won't be shorter. We will be praying together. And then Wednesday morning from 6 to 7. And last week I said, please put this in your diary. If you don't make this a priority, you're going to forget about it this week. And we're going to send out more details about that today. So please come and join us. There won't be child care. There will be child prayer. The kids can join us. They can pray with us. The kids can pray just as they are. We don't need to do something special for them. They can pray with the adults. So bring your kids along. And they can even join the Zoom meetings if they're awake that time of day to pray with us together. Can we close our eyes before we open the word this morning? Lord Jesus, thank you that when we open up your Bible, our hearts open up with expectation because you will speak to us. You've already been speaking this morning, and we've been speaking back through our praises and through our prayers. And we thank you that you are a living God who made us for relationship. You made us to have relationship with you. So this morning, Lord, as we talk about prayer, let us hear the invitation of Jesus. That he wants to relate to each one of us. We ask for that in faith this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to start by saying welcome to the temple. I want to say welcome to the house of God. Now by no means do I say that God lives here in this chapel, because he doesn't. But the scripture teaches us that we are the temple, and we, his believers, are being built up into a house where God dwells by his Spirit. And as we talk about prayer, as we look at the passage today, we'll see that people went to the temple to pray. But today, the invitation is that prayer can be unceasing. Because if you're a believer, you are always in a temple. You are the very house of God by His Spirit. If you missed last week's message, I encourage you to go and listen, because we spoke about prayer and you. You waking up, rising and saying, I will not let all the things of the world determine my path, but I'm going to see God through prayer. But this morning, we're going to talk about prayer and us, His temple, collectively, and we are going to talk about prayer and them. Because all of us sometimes have some preferences in our own hearts of who we pray with, how we pray, who we worship with, and how we worship. When I look into the heart of Jesus that we're going to discover together this morning through the Word, I don't see that. I see a Jesus who invites everyone. It says, you, the temple, come together to pray. So flip your devices to Mark chapter 11. It'll be up on the screen. And if you are like me, old school with a physical Bible, praise Jesus. You can open that up to Mark chapter 11. We're going to only read a few verses this morning. And as you get ready, I want to title my message this morning, Turn the Tables and Turn Up Prayer. Turn the tables and turn up prayer. So with that as a backdrop, let's read together. Mark 11, verses 15 all the way through 18. And they came to Jerusalem, and He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And He would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And He was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. But you have made it a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were all seeking a way to destroy Him. For they feared Him because all the crowd was astonished at His teaching. Turn the tables and turn up prayer. In 2021, I visited the Garden Shul in Gardens, Cape Town. Those of you who don't know what that is the Jewish synagogue. And I attended a Shabbat prayer meeting on a Friday afternoon. It's the oldest synagogue in sub-Saharan Africa with the oldest Jewish congregation. And the reason I went is not because I was looking for another church. Sigh of relief. As part of my studies, I needed to go and immerse myself in some other worlds to learn about how the world thinks, and attended this very interesting moment with a room full of Jews in this old building and seeing how they worship. Now, in order for me to get there, I went to their website to figure out, is this even possible? And on the website, it said this, you can join a tour of the synagogue from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday. No booking necessary. But the instruction was to attend a worship service. So reading a little bit further, it says, visitors looking to attend a prayer service at the Garden Shul on Shabbat or festivals, please fill out our visitors form. So there I am, click, 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 fill in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now they're going to send me an email and I will be able to attend the next Shabbat. I put down the dates when I want to go. And then I was intrigued. I wanted to learn a little bit more about this congregation and this community. Because as you open up their page, it says, more than a community, a family. And it looked quite inviting. I'm like, I'm sure that now that I filled in the form, I can just pitch up there on the date that I gave. And then I read up. I thought to myself, well, what would it look like to become a member of this Garden Shul? And there's a little application form. Like, click here if you want to become a member. So I click, and then you've got to list all your heritage as a Hebrew individual and your parents' names and their parents' parents and all this stuff. And then right at the bottom, you have to buy your membership. If you want to be in the first row, men only, 4,200 rand. It's on the website. If you want to be in the last row, the seventh row of the synagogue, men only, 1,300 rand. I guess that's annually. But then women, first row ladies, 1,050 rand. I'm like, that's unfair. Why do the ladies pay less than the men? For once, it's the other way around, right? Or in the sixth row, that's really cheap seats, 135 rand to buy yourself a seat in the synagogue. So I send my email, I get a response, and they ask me a whole lot of questions, like interesting questions. I think at some point there was a possibility that I needed to submit a police clearance certificate. So I emailed back the documents, like, why do you want to come? Well, I'm a master's student. I'm studying theology. This is part of my journey. I sent them the websites of who I'm studying with, what it's all about. And this is one of my study assignments to go and visit. So that's all I want to do, guys. Nothing more. I get a phone call. Someone speaks to me that I don't know on the other side. And after a long 2-month journey, they give me the date and I can go to the Shabbat prayers in the synagogue on Friday afternoon. As I'm there, I'm looking for parking. It's Cape Town, so you drive up and down. And I think by the time I looked for parking the fifth time, they probably noticed my car. Because as I got out and I started walking towards it, two people with security clothes started coming towards me. And they introduced themselves, said, hey, how are you? Who are you? I'm like, I'm Pierre Smith. And they said, yeah, we've heard about you. We are the security team. And we just got to ask you a few questions. I answer all their questions. I think they were briefed on everything. And then they said this. We've got to make sure that the people on the inside are protected. So can we please body search you? But they body searched me. They gave me a kippah or a jamulka, a skull cap that I had to wear. When I went in, I didn't know where to sit because I haven't been paying the membership fees. And then from the first row, someone might just come and say, where's your 4,200 rand? And after a little while, I think there was a Jewish man who saw me and really felt for this confused guy. And he showed me a seat. And I was sitting there and observing the room and going through the story. And at some point, I realized, okay, that's why the seats are more expensive, because the men sit down here, but the women have to be up there and are not allowed to be down here. And I was perplexed at the people continuing to have meetings while the Shazam, the singer, is singing, supposedly worshiping. But I must give it to the rabbi, because at the end of the message, he said, and as we conclude this morning, we want to welcome Pastor Pierre from Somerset West, who's busy with his studies. We wish you God's best over your studies, which I thought that was amazing, real special. And he greeted me outside afterwards, and he asked me what the study was about, and he said, Godspeed. In the end, I wasn't welcome, really. I felt like an outsider. And this is what Jesus was speaking about in this moment. Jesus comes to the temple, to the place that should be open for anyone to come and pray, and he's distraught. Because as the custom is, throughout the generations of Jewish worship, people needed to bring offerings, temple tax, and sacrifices in order to worship. Now, let me just make this very clear, that what God has given at the beginning has been receiving so much humanity and add-on rules. And Jesus is in the outer court of the temple, which allows you to go to the inner court, and all he sees is just tables of people making money. The money changers were there because people would go on their Jerusalem pilgrimage and they would come with money from another country and they needed to exchange that money in order to pay temple tax. And then there were those selling pigeons, because pigeons were given as a sacrifice in Hebrew worship. And Jesus sees all of this, and in the Gospel of John, we read that he goes and he makes a whip. You guys know what a whip is? Andre, do you sweep gebring? If you guys ever want to be impressed, ask Andre Alberts to whip things up for you. He's Indiana Jones in our midst. He goes and he makes a whip. He comes back. Now the story becomes quite dramatic, right? He turned the tables around. That isn't a, hey, buddy, you know what? I don't know, this is a good idea. Have you maybe thought about the fact that you are standing? You see how diplomatic it could have been? No, he walked in with a whip. He started whipping the whip. He started taking the tables filled with money, the cages of the pigeons, and he is just starting a fight. Why? Oh, Jesus, meek and mild. The one that we sometimes put in this little idea of just, he's just meek and mild. He steps into this moment and he acts decisively and he acts strong. And then he speaks and he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I can imagine after that moment when Jesus has done what he has done, everyone's ears were ringing with anticipation. What is he going to say now? Because they knew him to be a teacher. And the Bible says he taught them. Anyone who didn't bring money, anyone who didn't worship according to the preference of the culture, they were all outsiders. In the end, anyone that came there to pray maybe to God Almighty, to Yahweh, the God of Israel, felt like an outsider because there were tables set up everywhere. As we are following Jesus together, we are his temple. But I want to ask you this morning, what have you made about church that might be keeping others out? What tables have we set up that are keeping others out? Is everyone truly welcome in your space of worship? See, Jesus was addressing a lot here, more than just Jews and Gentiles. I believe he was also speaking about a spiritual elite. These religious leaders were creating this environment because only some who do things a certain way, whoa, those are the real spiritual ones. And I look at our society and our world today and cultures and even churches where certain levels of people get to pray. Certain people with certain revelations and divine things get more access. I'm like, no, that's not what Ephesians says. All of you have been given every spiritual blessing. So many times we think it's the Mario who understands the spiritual world because he comes from that can pray. But I'm saying this morning, church, all of us are invited into prayer. And there is this funny thing in our world where there are certain levels. In the same time, people have made a business out of worship. I saw it the other day. Prophetic pillowcases. Your pillowcase is so strong that it's going to give you a prophetic word. People buy it. Yeah, prophetic dreams will happen. That is a joke. It's by the Spirit. As if your $25 are going to have you have a prophetic dream. Read this book. Ooh, the revelation in this book. You've got to get this. Listen to this song. Listen to, you see all these things, and then we go through life, and then someone wants to join our prayer meeting. Like, I'm not sure that they are at the level that I'm at. But okay, I'll drop my prayer so that they can join. Have we set up tables in our worship that are keeping others out? And in the midst of that, Jesus says something so important. He says, my house, my temple, yes, for this moment, the in-between space between us going to become his temple and the physical temple in Jerusalem, he says this, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer for all nations. And he recalls what the prophet Isaiah already prophesied about Jesus and his temple.
Isaiah 56, verses 6 to 8. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. In my temple, in my house, people from all nations, people from all walks of life, people that look different than you, think different than you, act different than you, pray different than you, sing different than you, drink coffee when you drink tea, doesn't matter what, all these people, God gathers, and it speaks about God's gathering heart. And Jesus is in the temple, and all he sees is a place that only gathers a few. Church, do you guys know what's ahead for us in a new building that God has for us? It's going to be a gathering place for people from all walks of life. And for us to be ready to go there, we've got to make sure that the tables in our hearts that we have set up, the checklists we have in order to say you're a Christian or this is proper worship, we need to break down. Got to have this heart of Jesus, that he is a gathering God. Peoples from all kinds, it's been his heart from the beginning. Yes, he chose Israel to show the world and the people of the world, everyone he made in his image, what it is to worship God, but even they didn't get it right. We got a prophetic encouragement this morning about the people of Israel who didn't want God, they wanted other things. He used them to show the world, but then from the beginning he told Israel, anyone who wants to come and worship me, open up the doors, break down the tables, let them come. My Father's house are many rooms. You see, God is at all times pursuing all people. His goodness is not just running after us this morning. It is running after the whole world. It is the Father's desire that none should perish. And his goodness is trying to pursue and catch every single one. God has always been pursuing all people. He is a gathering God. The question this morning is, when we gather to worship, do we carry that heart? Or do we look at someone a little snarks because they might act or look different than us? I can go down my list of things that we have: clothing, speech, language, approach, looks, tattoos. Got all these things like, ooh, I'm a little unsettled. If we put up exclusivity with whom we are willing to worship with, or who we welcome, we've actually set up tables against his gathering heart. That's what I love about when we pray for the nations, because we make you pray in groups, and you might just pray with people that you wouldn't usually pray with. But also I want to encourage you that next time we pray for the nations, which is next week again, that you actually go and find someone that you wouldn't usually pray with and pray with them. Sometimes, even in our prayer meetings, and you can relate, because I can relate, guys, this is not you, it's us. There's a prayer meeting and we look for our friends, right? Now, if you're comfortable, yeah, I can pray. Oh, I don't want to pray there because I might sound stupid, or Jesus just says, don't do that. Open up the doors, let anyone come, let's be a praying place, let everyone be welcome. We do it in so many ways. He or she is not spiritual enough, I'm not spiritual enough, they pray too loud, they repeat too many words, ooh, they are so quiet, why don't they even pray? Do they even speak to God? They didn't even agree when I pray, they never say amen. I've heard one amen this morning at church. Thank you, Eugene. At least I know you're with me. And here's the power in all of this. And I think this is what Jesus was introducing. See, when we pray with others that might not be like us, it's a powerful moment. When you pray for others and with others that aren't like you, something powerful happens. Because prayer shatters the restrictions of our own preferences. Because I'm coming together with you, and together we're looking at Him. Amen. What Jesus is truly saying is, can you take the focus of yourself in prayer for a moment and keep it in its right place on me? Then the tables don't matter anymore. The preferences don't matter anymore. And when you pray, it's actually shattered because it is that powerful. I'm going to read a short part of a book that has deeply changed and impacted me. It's one of my books that I needed to read for my studies, and I took it along to the beach on December. And I frustrated the family because they would come back all sunned up and swimming, and I would be crying and upset with my own heart. And it's by the author Peter Story, who was a freedom fighter in our nation. And he took some excerpts from his own preachers and some stories from his own life. In fact, at some point, the government wanted to lock him up. In fact, the government bombed his church because he was speaking this heart of Jesus during the demonic regime of apartheid. He was speaking up, saying, that's not the gospel. We've set up tables in apartheid that's keeping others out. And he preached against it. If you ever want to be growing and understanding what we as a nation have been through, I encourage you to read this book. So many stories that I just wept. Not just shed a tear, but wept. My God, you've got to change my heart. So I still have some tables that are set up. And he used to go and visit the prisoners who are in prison just because they loved Jesus and they believed in the gospel that is a house of prayer for all nations. People of color who would worship together in churches where there were white folk who would then end up in prison because they were just worshiping according to what the Bible calls worship. So he would go and visit these prisoners and pray with them in prison and serve communion to them in prison and do the work of a pastor during a very difficult time. And he tells this story. Keep in mind that prayer shatters the restrictions that we have of our own preferences. He says this, I love South Africa too passionately to let her die of her disease when a cure is available. The church is the community of hope. Even in the pain and horror of today's South Africa, our God still makes this point. And sometimes he does so in a naughty way. Let me tell you a story. There is in this hall somewhere Ike Molabi, who was in prison a few weeks ago. There were still some loopholes in the state of emergency regulations. So I, together with another minister, was able to visit him. They put us in a corner with an Afrikaner prison officer to monitor our conversation. We could say little to each other, but I did have in my pocket some bread and a small chalice and some communion wine, so we prepared to celebrate the Eucharist. Now we have an open table, so naturally I invited the prisoner officer to join us and have communion with us. And after some hesitation, he accepted. We always serve the least of Christ's brothers and sisters first. So I passed the cup to Ike, and he drank. We would never take communion before offering it to a stranger in our midst. So the cup was naturally passed next to the Afrikaner prison officer. Now, this white Afrikaner had a dilemma. He realized that if he wanted to receive the means of God's grace, he would have to place his lips for the first time in his life on a cup from which a black man had just drunk. You have to come to South Africa to know what that means. After a long pause, he took the cup and he drank. And for the first time, I saw a hint of a smile on Ike's face. Then at the end, I said, "We always hold hands when we say grace." I asked the Lord to help me keep a straight face as prison officer and prisoner held hands. And I recited the ancient words of benediction. I wish I could report a miraculous release, but I can't. Ike was kept some days longer, but there was another kind of miracle. The power equation between this prison guard and Ike could not remain the same. The church is the community of hope of South Africa. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Because when you hold hands and pray, the darkness shatters. And every demonic principality and stronghold that rises up against human hearts will have to bow. See, when we are a welcoming church, when we are a church where anyone can come and pray, regardless of what journey they have walked, regardless of how they see themselves and what identity challenges they might face, we will deal with the tables in our own hearts so that more hands are lifted and joined in prayer. Let's look at these words of Jesus, "My house." It's his house. It's his purposes. Have we for a moment thought that church is our place? Where we give our opinion? Where we work our strategies? Where we have our ideas? No, it's his. My temple, you and I, this collective place where God dwells, we are his. He is the head over the church. No man is, no man will ever be. I might be leading this community as a pastor, but Jesus is the head. And in this house, he says what it should look like. Therefore, as a team, as leaders, as staff, we don't take any moment for granted. We think about how we minister. We think about, is this what Jesus would want? Or is it just the preference of the culture? We even think about the songs we sing. We don't just take the new, great new song out there. We actually think about the theology in the song we sing because we ask, is this gonna honor Jesus? It's his house and he is the head of the church. And when he stood in that temple and he saw all the tables, he reminded them that this is his house. Do you come to church? Do you come to gatherings? Do you wake up in the morning saying, "God, this is your house"? Now you set the tone. You set the direction. The second thing that Jesus said, because remember we follow him, is that my house is what? A house of prayer. Out of all the words that he could have used, he chose prayer. He chose prayer. You know why? Because prayer is relationship. My house is a house where my people speak to me and I to them. Yes, in that we sing. We listen to the word because that's the primary way that he speaks to us. We love one another. We give to one another. We do church things. But my house is first a place of prayer. And for some of us, prayer has to be elevated in our hearts again because it might be number 7 on the list. When I think about church, I think about my great friends. I think about the lacquer band. I think about, ooh, the nice chapel. Whatever it is that comes to mind when I say the word church to you, can we elevate prayer to the level that Jesus places it? It will be a house of prayer, friends. You are always in a temple. Always pray. Pray without ceasing, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 17. Luke 18, Jesus shares the parable of the persistent widow. And he said, the Bible says he shared this parable in order to tell them that they should never stop praying. Do we If Jesus is saying, this is my house, if he says, you are my house and I am Lord over it, do we place prayer where he places it? Right at the top. And then, not just a place of prayer for you. It's not just about you, but a place of prayer for all nations. It is a place where you deal with the prejudices of your own heart and the preferences of what you want prayer to be, and you stretch out your hand to a brother or a sister and say, I'm praying for you and with you today. I'm not just making it about me, I'm making it about us. When I say prayer meeting, yes, we all come with our stuff, but can we come with our stuff and quickly move through it so we can deal with our stuff? That we can kneel into each other's worlds, each other's lives, into our nation, and into the nations of the world and pray that God would do miraculous things in our day and in our time. We need to lift our eyes of ourselves and onto all nations. And in all nations, it doesn't just mean literal countries. I think it speaks to social economic groups. It speaks to languages. It speaks to soccer and rugby fans. It speaks to coffee and tea drinkers. It speaks to the fact that in God's house is a multicolored, beautiful community of people from all walks of life. So for some of us, I believe the Lord is shattering exclusivity in worship in our heart today. He's inviting you to lift your eyes off and start seeing the beauty of those around. Can I ask you to bring people to prayer this week that you thought you couldn't or that you might think won't come? You'll be presently surprised. Bring them to church next week. Tell them, in our church, anyone is welcome. You can come and you can meet Jesus, regardless of the temptation that you might have in your life. And because of that, the life of sin that you might be living, regardless of that, come. Because these temple doors are open and we have shattered the tables that we have set up in front of it. Sometimes we pray and we think, what does prayer even do? Yes, we can pray, but we should also be practical, and I do agree. But next week, Pastor Linda is going to encourage us in how they've been praying for their community and how they're seeing miracles because they're praying every single day on Zoom from 5 to 6, literally. They don't stop. They've been doing it for, I think, almost a year. In South Africa, the Every Nation Southern Africa leaders are praying daily for over 2 years now from 6 to 7 on Zoom. Some of you have been on that call. It started during COVID. It hasn't stopped. Every day of the week, and we're seeing first fruits of revival in our nation because people are praying. Can we elevate prayer to that level? And it's not just prayer for us, but it's prayer for the nations, from the nations. Because if you have someone in your prayer meeting that might come out of a journey of brokenness and sin and uncertainty about their identity, and if they meet Jesus, you know who they're going to be praying for? Those people that walk that path. If you've got someone who's coming to prayer meeting that might have not believed in God and they were an atheist before and now they've met Jesus, you know who they're going to pray for in that meeting? Are those that's like them in their journey. If you've got someone in your prayer meeting that's from Zimbabwe, you know what they're going to do when they bring the meeting? Yes, they're going to pray with us and for us and our nation, but there's going to be a heart in Zimbabwe. There's going to be a heart for Nigeria. There's going to be a heart for Romania. There's going to be a heart for Portugal. There's going to be a heart for Peru, whatever it is. This is the heart of Jesus, friends. Pray for all people from all nations. I cannot wait for our church congregation to start looking more like that. It's good that we move from this beautiful venue. It's a great venue. God's graced us with this for a season, but it's time for us to go and position us where this will look a little bit more like the country he's put us in. But he is dealing with our hearts and preparing us for that moment. Saying, there's some tables that I need to speak to. I didn't feel welcome that day at the synagogue because there was just so much red tape. For the prisoner and the prison ward, I think both of them didn't feel welcome in that moment. But God did something powerful. And I want to end with another story that you might have heard before about the Berlin Wall that separated people. There was a moment that the Germans calls the Wende, which is the turnaround, where people say this was the true fall of the Berlin Wall. In 1982, a young Christian leader started having prayer vigils, praying for this breaking down of this wall between people, where people were separated, where it was us and them, because he probably had this heart of Jesus, that in God's house, we are all one. And these prayer meetings have been going on and carrying on from 1982, and on September 25th, 1989, 7,000 people rocked up to pray for this wall of division to break. That continued to grow from September to October, that they estimate that on October 9, 70,000 people were praying, and they got together and says, "We are the people," implying that all of us are the same. But on November 8, 1989, 46 Stasi police were ready to fight thousands. And on that day, the Wende happened. The Berlin Wall fell. And this were the words of the police: "We were ready for anything but candles and prayer." Christ turned the tables that day because people were praying. And for thousands on this side, they could have kept their heart distant from those on the other side. But when they started praying, the table shattered. And you might be sitting here this morning, and there's a us and them in your family, and you've given up praying because that table is there. You might be sitting here this morning, and there's an us and them when you see people from another people group. It comes up. You might be sitting here this morning, and there's even an us and them for you when you look at the church. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross? He shattered the tables. Because all of us were once the ones who weren't invited to the temple. Gentiles far out, which he has now brought near by his precious blood. And if you have accepted Jesus, you are welcome. You are in this place. But the way we live the gospel is to now make sure that the church we build and the temple we are is a house of prayer and a house of prayer for all nations. This morning, we're going to conclude in two ways. I'm going to give you a minute to reflect, and I'm going to give you a minute to share with those around you if the Holy Spirit is highlighted any table in your heart that you have put up that have kept others out and kept you safe, but not opening up your life and preferring how and with who you worship. We're going to give you 5 minutes to respond to the word this morning, and then Mario is going to lead us out. Let's take a moment to respond. Think about it for a moment, and then I'll cue you and you guys can speak to one another.
One more minute to conclude the prayer. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that for your word today that went out, Lord, and ministered into our hearts. Thank you, Father, Lord, it was both a word that challenged us, Lord, and both a word that brought us healing, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, for the conviction in our own hearts, Lord. That where we have either intentionally or unintentionally separated people, Lord, set up our own little tables. We were not a welcoming space, Lord. But this house, Lord, is not our house, Lord, but it is your house. And if we want to declare, Lord, that we are a house of miracles, Father, Lord, we need to be a house of prayer. And I pray, Lord, that as we are seasoning, Father, Lord, into this season of prayerfulness, Lord, I pray that the outcome of this, not whether we're doing it for any rewards, will be that we will be a house of miracles and prayer for the nations. A space, Lord, where everybody is welcomed. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, if I myself, Pierre, or anybody in this church has ever let you felt out of place, that you don't belong, that you don't fit into a certain group, on behalf of the church, I ask for forgiveness. That you will forgive us. Sometimes it is not intentionally. Sometimes it's intentionally. Sometimes you feel out. Sometimes there's still no relationship. We ask for forgiveness. But we want you to know that this house is your house also. It's not our house. It's not every nation's house. This is the house of the Lord, where everybody is welcome to sit and eat and feast at his table. Amen.